You are now listening to It's a Mindset with Takara Barnes, your weekly inspiration. I'm Takara Barnes, and thank you guys for listening. It is another Mindset Monday with me. I hope you guys was cool because I did take a break last week, but y'all, I'm like so worn out. I got so much stuff going on with my live show coming up this Saturday. So if you haven't got your live show tickets, make sure you go grab those on Eventbrite. Also, I got my birthday coming up the end of this month, so I'm getting ready for that too as well. So I had to take a little mental break from my show last week, but we are back again. But I'm also pretty excited because I do have a special guest with me today, and I'll let her go ahead and tell you her name.
Rachel Allen.
What up, Rachel?
What it do?
What up, Rachel? So I know Rachel, actually me and Rachel played against each other in college. I think, Rachel, you might have been what, a freshman when I was a senior maybe?
I believe so.
Yes, she went to TSU, but I let her tell you all that too as well. So I'm going to go ahead and let Rachel just get into it. I'm excited to have Rachel because she does have a book that is about to come out that she's taking pre-orders for. She does motivational speaking. She's got a lot of stuff going on. She's all about purpose. So why not have her on It's a Mindset? So Rachel, just kind of introduce yourself to my listeners and just talk about you.
Right. Well, like you said, my name is Rachel, a.k.a. a whole bunch of different other names. Rachel Ruby, Reezy, DJ Reezy. Come on, somebody. Ray Ray.
Hey.
I think it's rare people call me Rachel. Like, if you call me Rachel, you probably don't know me. But that's just kind of the background of that. Like you said, I went to TSU. Shout out to them Tigers, them Lady Tigers or whatever. And you know, I went there for 4 years, had a great experience and things like that. I am, also a military kid, so I got that kind of background too. And yeah, that's a little bit about me.
Okay. So like Rachel, we haven't talked in like forever. So basically we just catching up. So like, where are you from originally? So you're going to fill in some blanks for me because really, I don't really know. Where are you from originally?
Let's see. Like I said, I'm a military kid, so I don't necessarily have somewhere that, like, I was born and raised, you know what I'm saying, that most people could say I was born and raised somewhere. But family is North Carolina, so that's home. I know when I was in Tennessee, I considered that home because I was there for so long. People show so much love, and I just loved it there. And so if somebody asks me, I tell them North Carolina is home, definitely.
Okay. Okay, so where are you located right now?
I'm actually in Virginia right now, Hampton.
Okay, cool. Okay, Hampton.
You know what I mean?
Okay. So, Rachel, like, I follow you on social media. You've got Holy Transparent. You say, what is it? Keep it hot is your slogan. So really, I mean, I keep up with it. I've watched some of your videos, but let's really talk about, you know, what that is, how you started it, your background on that, and just kind of tell me to, because you're going to inform me too as well. So just talk about that, what you've got going on with Keep It Hot.
Yeah, I mean, really with Keep It Hot, that was started, I would probably say a year or two ago. And like you said, HOT would stand for Holy, Open, and Transparent. Pretty much just saying like, you know, I have a standard that I live by, and unashamed to say I'm a Christian and try to live upright and try to please God. But at the same time, I'm open and transparent as far as like what I've been through. And I believe that other people will draw strength, you know, from people that are transparent. You know, like I said, I think there's a time and place for everything, for being transparent. So, yeah, I had that, and I wrote a lot, and I did videos of that, and then I got to chilled out on that, kind of transition to IamRachelRuby.com. So I'm doing videos on that now. So that was just a kind of transition.
Okay. So basically, you talk about, so like me and you's on the same page. We're doing the same thing. So me, I started out with, you know, me doing my fourth quarter, me doing It's a Mindset. Like sometimes, like, you know, you start out with your vision, it starts out with one thing, then you do transition. So just talk about, so like, what made you passionate about, because I'm really about that too. Like, you know, I'm holy and very open, transparent. That's something I really am. Me, I'm all about being myself. Right. Just talk about really what motivated you to really allow people to see that.
I think, well, Well, as far as like the holy part, I just truly believe like in living a life that's pleasing unto God. Do you got to be perfect? Nah. You know what I mean? But I want when other people see me that they see the love of God, you know? So that's the really the holy part. And open transparent is really me saying like I'm free. You know what I mean? Like I'm not bound by any you know, opinions of others or you know what I'm saying? Fear of people or fear of opinions. I'm free. The Bible talks about who the Son set free is free indeed. So, you know, I'm transparent in the fact of, you know, I feel like the things that I have been through and the people that I've come across and to see the healing in their life, that it can help other people that are maybe at the place that I used to be. You know what I mean?
Trust
so,
me.
So I think, you know, people can heal, I think, better, or people can comprehend you better when they understand, like, nah, this ain't what I used to be. Like, the person you see now is not who I used to be. So just kind of seeing that transformation and saying, sis, like, I'm here to help you pull up. I'm trying to pull you up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's really what it's about to me. So I think that's really my life's purpose right there of saying, like, you know, there is better for life. There's better for your life than just living beneath what God called you to be. You feel me?
Right, right. So you said, when you talked about that, you said you aren't who you used to be. So who did you used to be?
Man, I used to be, you know, I don't think I was too wild, but I used to be just like in sin. I used to be like bound by different things and, I used to be just ugly. You know what I mean? From everything from like low self-esteem and sexual impurity and,
right.
You know, things like that. Just dibbling and dabbling, trying to find your purpose, looking for love in all the wrong places. You feel me? Just different things like that. So I think a lot of women can relate to that. And so that's why I share a lot.
Right, right. So when you doing holy, open, and transparent, well, you know, because it takes a lot for you to get to that place, like to get to that place where you're not afraid to talk about the person that you used to be, the things you used to do, and just being open and allowing people to see that. You know, that's one thing I can say about myself. Like me, you know, I used to be into a lot of things too, you know, and there's stuff that I still struggle with. Like to this day, I talk about that all the time here on my show. But I think you really have to get yourself to a place and just get, I think it's all about, like you said, it's that self-confidence and you just really looking in the mirror and just being okay with who you are and understanding that God's going to love you for who you are. And you're not on this earth to really please people or to care what other people think, because we only have one, you know, one purpose of trying to please one person. And I think once I learned that, like, that's when I really start being, you know, on It's a Mindset, just opening up to people, telling people the truth about, you know, the things that I do. You know what I'm saying? And being transparent.
Yes, ma'am.
Really? So talk about your walk, like, in Christ, like, you know, when you became a Christian, just talk about that.
I was born and raised in the church, so I knew church. I knew how to pick up your feet and put them down and shout and when I think of the goodness of Jesus type thing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And I seen a lot of people shouting and speaking in tongues and you know what I mean? So you get used to the rhythm of church. And so I know church, but relationship with Christ, I dedicated my life to Christ at the age of 18. I believe it was a couple of weeks actually before I came to Tennessee State. And Lord knows I needed to be saved going to Tennessee State.
Trust me.
Yeah, trust. So I've been saved since I was 18 and just been growing in my relationship with Christ. And I think, you know, a lot of times we say, I can't come to Christ because I'm so filthy. I'm so dirty. And almost ashamed to come to God is that. But at the age of 18, I came to God. And then after that, I just saw stuff start shedding off of my life. It was a process of like purifying my soul and things like that. So it's definitely been a process. I am 25 now. So, you know, I'm still growing and like you said, in different areas of my life, and just going from faith to faith.
I already know. I feel you. So let's talk about this. So with you being a college athlete, you playing basketball at TSU, mm-hmm. talk about like, man, me, I got saved and I got baptized when I was 10 years old. Me, I went through my mess until I was all the way probably 21. And which honestly, basketball, me dealing my senior year of basketball is what really brought me back to Christ. Just talk about how really, because I mean, I have like a lot of college athletes on here and we talk about God. Just talk about like, you know, God, how God played a part in your life once you playing basketball in college. You know what I'm saying? Stuff that he kind of got you through and just stuff that you went through that you know that he got you through.
Absolutely. I think, I don't think people understand this, but I think like team sports in general teach you a lot about life. Like I know things that I went through at TSU is like teaches me perseverance in real life. And so I thank God for that period. And as far as like being a Christian at TSU, I was really surrounded by some really dope people. You know, of course, like most athletics have FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And so I was strengthened by that. And then I had people like Kesey and Avery. I could think of those two really heavy, you know, as well as others. But those two really heavy that like keep me straight in my walk in Christ. And man, I remember we used to just kick it like over their apartment, just kicking. I used to spend the night as a freshman, like freshman, sophomore year. That's all I was doing. It was like hanging around them. And, you know, just talking about real life, but as well as like being built up in Christ, man, Avery was really big on that. And so at TSU, I really looked up to those two, especially Avery, as far as just like strengthening my walk in Christ and saying, you know what I mean? Like, you can be saved, sanctified. You ain't got to be like everybody else at TSU. No shade. But you can still live different and be in that environment. You know what I mean? So right. I was really thankful to be around some like really good people to help strengthen me during my time there.
Right. It's especially when you in college, man, at that age, like especially I couldn't imagine being where y'all was at because y'all got too many distractions. But right. but I think it's really important to have those accountability partners to play a role, you know, especially if you're trying to live your life the right way. Just having people who's your age for the big part, you know what I'm saying, people to look up to. And that's a lot for you to say that you had people, you know what I'm saying, who played a factor in your life at a young age. You know what I'm saying? That you can, yeah. And you know that. Because a lot of people don't want to admit that either, you know, or people don't really have mentors. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's good. Yes. I think, yeah, that is good. I actually wrote about that in the book, but we need people to like be vulnerable around, but still won't allow us to stay stuck where we are. You know what I mean? Right. Like we need people around us that say, I see the best in you and I won't allow you to stay at your worst. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah, you're absolutely correct. I don't think people understand like the depth of like, you need somebody, you need a mentor, not just with their words telling you what to do, but their life shows the fruit of their words. And someone that you could say, I'm striving to become, I'm striving, not on like envy or jealousy type stuff, but on some like, I respect you. I respect your hustle. I respect what you're doing. And if you can do it, I know I can do it, you know, and just walking out the purpose that God has for each and every one of our lives.
100%. You're right. Okay. So let's like, Rachel, let's shift gears. Okay. I call you Lil Rachel.
Come on.
That was always my name for you. Lil Rachel. Lil Rachel. So let's shift gears. So let's talk about, cause you know, you fell off the wagon. I felt like for a little bit on social media, I didn't see you for like a little minute.
Yeah.
Okay. So talk about that. So was that like were you in isolation? Did you intentionally do that? Or just talk about, because you said you transitioned. You right. know what I'm saying? And it's key to take that time to step away. You know what I'm saying? To make a transition. I don't think people understand, you know, how important that is. Sometimes you got to take a step back to take a step forward. So just talk about that talk about that period where you really, you weren't on social media. Were you correct?
I was not on social media super heavy. No, I wasn't.
Okay. Well,
I take periods of like that. I told my friend the other day, real G's move in silence like lasagna. Come on, somebody.
Right. I put that in my Facebook status like 2 months ago.
I think Brother Wayne said that. Am I correct?
He did.
Shout out to Brother Wayne. No, but you know, I do periods of that, of like just chilling out from social media, because for a few different reasons. I think if we consume a lot of social media in this age, you start to compare your life with others, like unknowingly, kind of like, oh, I wish I was on that vacation. Or, you know what I mean? Like, I wish I was booed up. Like, you know what I mean? And you really don't know what people are going through. But we just compare our lives to the highlights of other people.
Ooh, so, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Come on, somebody. So sometimes I do have to chill out on that. And as well as, you know, I knew I was preparing to do different projects and things like that. And social media is, like, really time-consuming for me. And so... sometimes when you are trying to, you know, accomplish things, you have to make sacrifices. You have to be disciplined. So that was just one of the areas that I was, you know, sacrificing and being disciplined in. But, you know, I was still connected with, you know, my homies and stuff like that. And believe it or not, even if you ain't on social media, like, you gonna understand what's going on social media. Somebody gonna screenshot you. Your mama gonna say, did you see what you call it today, her birthday or something like that. So even though you off social media, you really still connected. So yeah, I think everybody should take time every year away to say, like, what's really my goals? What's life really about away from what's really going on social media and the highlights of everybody else? So yeah.
Right. I mean, I think, like, me, I used to be on that all the time. Like, me, I would take breaks all the time. Like, I do fast. Like, I do 30 days. Like, we're actually coming, starting tomorrow. This week, I'm actually going to be doing, you know, no social media from 8 p.m. to 8 a.m., which is a lot of sleep time, but I do like a lot of work time at night too as well. And plus, me, I go to sleep super late and I wake up super early. But I can tell you this, like, it's crazy. Like, when you do your little social media breaks, you don't realize how much you be on there. Like, I would have to delete my apps. Then I'd pick up my phone. I keep scrolling, and then I didn't realize what I was scrolling for, but I'm scrolling for Instagram.
Right.
Scrolling for Facebook. And then, you know, did you know I read a statistic? You know, the average person checks their social media 21 times a day.
Oh yeah, I believe it. Probably more than that. I believe that.
Probably 45.
Like, something changed. It's the same folks up there.
The same thing. And blood, you'll go on Facebook, then you'll get off. Then you'll go on Instagram, then you'll go off. You'll go on Twitter, then you get off. Then you'll go on Snapchat, get off. Then you'll go back to Facebook again, and then get off. It'd be the same thing. Like, and you really don't be missing nothing. It's like, you be like, man, I can really do without this. And it really does clear your head, like, and you can focus on stuff.
Absolutely. I agree.
So, Rachel, you got your book coming out. Pre-order started yesterday.
Friday,
yes.
Whatever the case is, it's out right now. Pre-orders is out right now. Yes, ma'am.
Pre-orders Friday. Okay, so just talk about the process of how long you've been working on your book. Well, I'll ask that question first. So how long did you take you to write this book?
You know, as far as the writing process, I got started in January of 2017, and I ended in I would say about like March of 2018. So it was about 15 months.
Awesome. Awesome. That's solid. It's solid. Last part, it takes people years to get to put them things out. So just talk about, you know, tell us your book title and just talk about, you know, what the book's about and what really just wanted you to put this book out.
Yeah. So I wrote a book called Scarred, Healing the Wounds of Life. And the book is really about like recovering from life's right hook. And, you know, I've met a lot of women, a lot of people in my family, and just women in general, my inspiration. And I'll interject this right here. I had a guy that contacted me on Instagram, and he said, you know, do you know that men hurt as well? And my dad told me this morning, he said, did you know that hurt has no gender? And I said, wow, that's powerful. But as for me, I feel like I'm called to talk to women. You know, there's people in the world that are called to talk to both genders. But right now in my life, I'm called to talk to women. So the book is about healing from life, healing in different areas of your life. Because I know a lot of times people are broken or wounded and they get conditioned to, this is just how my life will be. This is just the cards that I was dealt. And I say, no, like, I'm resisting that. Like, there is better for you right here on this earth. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven in the by and by, but God has better for your life right now. You don't have to stay stuck in the stigma of your bad decisions, or you don't have to stay stuck in what happened to you. You don't have to stay stuck into who dropped you, because everybody has been through something. I say in the book that if you live any amount of time, that life will happen to you. Wounds will occur. You know what I mean? Offense will occur. You know, bad things happen even to good people. So I just talk about, you know, I wouldn't say this is the telltale for everything healing wise, but just some of the things, little snippets of like what I have done and to heal and to be whole and complete in different areas of my life. So that's what the book is really about. I hope people pick it up and just really apply it, not just read it, but apply it to the life. And man, I'm just trying to see transformation, man. You know what I mean?
100%. 100%. I do. Rachel, you talked about your target audience being women, that you feel like your audience is women and that's who you should be talking to. Why do you feel that is? Or why do you feel like God chose that to place women on your heart?
It's just the way it was. It's just the way that God made me. Before the foundations of the earth, he said, you call the young women. And I accept it, and I'm humbled by it. I really am. I'm really humbled by it, and I take it very seriously. So I don't really know the answer to that. That's just like what God created me to do. So I'm just trying to walk it out as best as I can.
Right, and you'll find like why, like in me, like with I'm on the same boat as you. Like women for my show, It's a Mindset, it's more target audience for women. I have some guys who listen to it too, but it's like for me, you know, and I think that, you know, when you get your purpose, God starts really unpacking things for you to show you why. And that's really, it took me 2 years for me to do that, for God to really unpack things to me on why, you know, just for me, for what I've done, the person who I was, because, you know, we talked about influences earlier. You know, when I was in college, me, you didn't know what type of influence I was going to be. I could either bring you up really, really high in a positive way, or I could bring you down in a negative way. Yes, so me, just all the experience that I've went through, you know, doing things the wrong way. You know what I'm saying? Like me, it's like I have a heart of wanting to save younger girls from what they're doing, you know, to show them, like, you know, if you don't want to listen to nobody else, listen to me, because I'm not ashamed to tell you, hey, I did this. You know, I talked, the first episode of this, I talked about, you know, I struggled smoking marijuana. Like, mm-hmm. I talked about that. Like, you know, and I have no shame in that. Like, it was a struggle for me. You know what I'm saying? And I still struggle with that from time to time as well. So being open about the stuff that you do, because it's like you said earlier, Facebook is such the highlights of everything. Nobody sees real anymore. Nobody knows what real is. Everybody just sees what they see on an app.
Right. Absolutely. You're right.
So I think it's really up to us. And I think it's a time that where we, you know, we gotta, you know, put ourselves out there, be that sacrifice to put books out like Scarred, you know what I'm saying? Shows like It's a Mindset to help the younger generation, or even, you know, young adults now, either, you know, right now, I feel like I get a lot of older women who listen to me too, and just putting that word out there and putting positive. What would you say, if you thought about it, what did you say? What would you say is probably like, do you have like a favorite chapter in your book or something like that, that you wrote, that's something that's like really special to you that's in your book?
You know, I guess if I really be honest, I really enjoy writing every chapter. Okay. But I think the nuts and bolts of like how I think and how my mind processing things, I think one of my favorites would be Roots. Okay. And I wrote about, you know, different things about your roots. And I think like a lot of things that we see on the surface level has a root or has a foundation. You know, somebody might see, for example, somebody might see, you know, a woman that's 18 and she got 3 kids. Right. You know what I mean? But what's her root?
Right.
She got father issues. Has she been, you know, improperly treated as a child? Has she been like molested, you know, things like that? So I think Roots was probably my favorite chapter to say, okay, let's dig a little deeper than just the surface level of saying, ooh, she, you know what I mean, just the surface level of things. Let's look a little deeper, because until we really dig up the roots, we'll continue to see cycles, and we'll see, you know, we'll see like temporarily we'll see like a temporarily kind of like everything's all right temporarily. And then when somebody touched the wound, the same thing will pop right back up. And that's where we get cycles because we don't deal with things at the root or the foundation of things. And so it just takes one person to hit that spot again and you're going to be right back at square one. So we got to get our roots healthy. You know what I mean? And that's the same thing like physically, like plants physically. The quality of their roots will show in the fruit that they bear or don't bear. So I think that was one of my favorite chapters to write.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like that, that's awesome. Like you sound like what you said, like I got exactly what you said. Like that make 100% sense when you're talking about, you know, roots of things and why you do things. And it's like, I was just talking to Terrell about this yesterday, just in talking about the same thing I told him, like, you know, I really had to learn a lot about myself on why I do things. You know what I'm saying? Because, and that's something that, you know, when you learn that about yourself and you get to that point when you talk about roots, it allows you to give grace to other people on why they do stuff.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. And I had to learn that too. You are 100% correct because I actually had to learn that in my own life. Because when I looked at my roots, I saw that, you know, I mean, I talk about it in the book, but to be completely honest, like I saw the way I interacted with men was a reflection of what I saw the flaws in my parents' relationship. Mm-hmm. So it was one of them things like you got to deal with the roots because them roots, man, listen, they'll destroy your whole life. Like even the good parts of your life, you know what I mean? Even when you think about a garden, your garden can be cool. And then if you don't deal with the weeds in the garden, they'll start to choke up even the good things in life. They'll start to choke up even the good plants that was thriving. You'll start to see like it all go down. So, yeah, them roots are really important.
Also, too, with that, like, while we talk about roots, like, it really shows you when you talked about grace, like it really shows you, you have to love people because like, you really can't blame them. Like you can't fault them. Like it's me, like me now, like ever since like I've learned that, like, and I made that transition to, cause me, I'm the type of person, like you piss me off, I'm done with you. I'm not talking to you no more. I don't need no explanation. Like I'm done. It's like now when somebody, and I had to get to this place too. If somebody does something to hurt me, if they're evil, if they do something hateful, I have to really think. Well, I'll put it this way. So, like, you know, I got a husband. I had to think about sometimes when he says certain things to me, I have to think about, you know, why did he say that? Or why does he think this way? Or did he mean to intentionally hurt me when he said that? He would never hurt me. So he's not in me. He doesn't mean it intentionally. It's somewhere of why he learned this or why he taught that. And it could be something as small as, it could be something as small as, you know, leaving his drawers on the floor. Clearly the drawers, the root somewhere where he was leaving drawers a long time ago when they was getting picked up. That's a root.
Yeah, for real though. It's like when you come to a place of healing, you get like a new lenses and you can see people through the love of God, like really, and understand, like you said, it's not really their fault, not giving excuses to people, but you know, like in my personal life, I was thinking about my dad and, you know, if a man's never seen a man be a man,
it's 100%. Like, you kind of, get out my house.
You kind of figured it out on your own. You trying to make your own blueprint. So it wasn't until I really got I would say probably like 21, 22, where I came to that realization that, man, he was just trying to figure out himself. Like he ain't never had nobody. So you kind of extend that grace and that love, not excusing stuff, but you know what I mean? You kind of get a different lenses that says like, man, like he was trying to figure it out. And I see him through the love of God. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. I get exactly when you talk about dads, like, you know, and something about me, you may not know, but my dad just got out the feds in November.
Okay.
And he was in there. Yes. For 8 years. Right. Okay. So, like, with him, like, and he was in jail when I was probably, let's see, 3 to 5, 9 to 12, got out when I was 12, was all the way out when I went back in when I was, like, a sophomore, maybe a junior in college, and just got back out here recently. And it's crazy because it's, like, me and him are our relation, and I was so mad at him for so many things, like, just angry, and just, we were so close before he went in, I was just so mad at him about stuff. Mm-hmm. I was so mad at him about every time I felt like I talked to him, I felt like, you know, he only made stuff about him. I was upset about the fact that, you know, he missed my walk to walk me down the aisle at my wedding. He missed me graduating college. He missed my senior night. I was so mad about them things. And it's like, you know, he and I look back now, now that I'm grown, now that I'm a woman, and I see, you know, now that we've built our relationship back and how he does things and just me knowing his background and us talking. And I just like, man, like, you didn't have no example. And I told him that like last week. So it's so crazy that we talking about this. You know, he was like beating himself about something about my little sister. And I was just like, you know, like I said, you know, to your defense, like you ain't never really had no example. You just winging it. You know, and I made that mistake too in my marriage. My first 2 years of my marriage was terrible because I didn't grow up. I didn't have two parents in the household. So I never knew what a marriage looked like. I was winging it. I ain't had no example. I was just doing out here, just doing whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, especially with me and you, you know, what we're doing, like God is really, you know, breaking cycles for us. You know what I'm saying? To help other people, to, you know, to show people and just to tell them and just be, you know, be give guidance and just be, you know, mentors and just give people inspiration for stuff like that.
Yes, ma'am.
So with your book, you know, so talk about just really like the process of your book, like your publishing, because I have like a lot of people who listen to this, you know, me for myself too, who are wanting to get put books out there. Just talk about just like your publishing process. Did you self-publish, like how all that worked?
I learned a lot through the process, but I actually went through Manifest Destiny LLC right here in Hampton, Virginia. And my big thing was, you know, there's a lot of publishers, there's a lot of, you know, self-publishing and things like that. And with my first time around, I didn't necessarily want to self-publish because it was my first time around. Now, when I do it again, I might look at self-publishing just for the things that I have learned. But I actually went through Manifest Destiny, like I said, here in Hampton. My thing was I wanted someone that I could see face-to-face. I wanted someone that I could, like, interact with. And it wasn't like... I'll talk to you on the phone, you know, or working with someone in Georgia, you know what I mean? Different things like that. I wanted someone that I could see face to face and kind of like get my heartbeat and get the vision that I have for it. So I worked with her. It actually took, like I said, I believe I gave her the thing in March. So, you know, it took a couple months to kind of like sort it out and, you know, edit and things like that, get the cover together. But here we are, August 2018, we here. Ooh, we made it. We made it.
So, like, when is, like, your actual release date?
My actual release date is this Thursday. I believe it's August the 16th.
So, for somebody listen to this right now, like, what do you really, what is your purpose of this book? What do you really want them to get out of this book?
My purpose that I want women to get out of this book is that there is better. There is a better life rather than living in the pain of yesterday. And, you know, I think it's time. I would say that I think it's time to, like, stop letting pain abide, you know, and just become a way of life. Like, pain and hurt and resentment and anger has almost become, like, a part of your DNA when you've dealt with it for so long. And really, I would say, like, it's time to, like, stop the cycles, because, you know what I mean? They say hurt people hurt people. And we passing down generational wounds to our next generation. And I would say, like, the buck is supposed to stop with you. Like, you are the change. Be the change that you want to see. So kind of, you know, put the work in and, to get the wholeness that you deserve, because you deserve as a woman to be complete. You deserve to be healed. You deserve to be whole. And yeah, it's just my journey. My thing is, like, so many people have tried so many different things. Like the woman with the issue of blood, she tried so many things. She tried, you know, different physicians. She tried using her own money. You know what I mean? For 12 years, she was struggling with bleeding profusely for 12 years. Picture that. And women today struggle with that same thing, profusely bleeding for 12 years. But it wasn't until she touched the hem of Jesus' garment that she was made whole. So my thing is, we've tried so many different things. You know what I mean? We tried being booed up. We tried alcohol. We tried smoking weed.
Right. Listen,
we tried, you know, different thing. My thing is, just try Jesus. You know what I mean? Try a different route. Try a different route, excuse me. And I promise you, man, I'm not trying to lead you astray, but try Jesus, and I believe he'll turn your life around, even the deepest parts of you.
Yeah. Mm. I think that, you know, like we talked, like you talked about earlier, when you said that a lot of people, it's crazy because like a lot of people think that you really have to, really do got to have it together to be a certain way. And I think that as Christians, I think that we confuse people, you know what I'm saying, at times too, especially when you are, when you aren't being transparent, you know, about what things that you do. And it's crazy because I remember, and I talked about this on Snap one time, I can remember a time where, you know, I could be on Snap and I would be playing rap music and I would turn it down and I would say something about the Lord or something like that. But, you know, I got to the point where I would leave it on and it'd be in the background. And I made a point to be like, you know what, there's no point in me turning it down for y'all. I don't want y'all listening. There's no point in me turning it down for me to be like, I don't want people to know that I listen to rap music, because I'm going to turn it on as soon as I turn this Snap off. So just be, you know what I'm, you feel what I'm saying? Like, there's no point in doing that. Like, so when, you know, when it came to you being transparent, you know, you talking about your scars, was there anybody else that, like, a person that you watched or who really, you know, really showed you a lot about how to be that way? You know what I'm saying? To be open about your scars, you know what I'm saying? To try the Lord. Like, who was, like, your influence, you know, for you to see that, like, your big influence?
To see what particularly?
So just this, like, just who was just your influence, period. You know what I'm saying? Or somebody who you watched. Because I'll give you an example. So, like, Sarah Jakes was the person who I watched to show, who showed me, like, man, you can be up there talking about rap music or quote rap music in the pulpit. You know what I'm saying? You can be that real. Like, she's the person who showed me that you can be real and God is still going to love you. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we put on this mask when, you know how you go, you know how you go through that prayer when you first a Christian? Well, you trying to do everything right. You want to crucify everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, you think, you know, you on your little wall, but then that fire burns out. You know what I'm saying? You go back to doing other stuff. Like, who was the person that really, like, influenced you? You know what I'm saying? To see that, you know, it's okay to be yourself. It's okay to be transparent.
I think I had a lot of people along the journey, you know, through life. I think, I'm thinking that my TSU days, you know, I had a lot of people that influenced me to just be me. One person I'm really thinking about in particularly, and she probably like, hey, Rach, shut me up, is Key. We call her Key, and Zakiya. And she was actually our media relations person for the basketball team, for the women's basketball team. And she was just like unashamed to be light in the midst of dark. And she was unashamed to, like, walk out her purpose. And I was just so amazed at, like, her gifts that she would put on display. And so I would say, like, her at TSU, of course, I was inspired by, you know, my friends and different things like that. And then here, I got to Virginia, and my mentor currently and for the rest of my life, I already know I'm connected to her for the rest of my life, was Tanya Smith. And I actually met her at church. And, you know, I just really connected with her and, you know, just being comfortable, seeing her comfortability in her skin and who God has called her to be. And, see, you know what I mean? And like her past and seeing, you know, if God can use her, he can use me. He can use you. He can use anybody. So she just, you know, gave me that confidence to just be you. Just be yourself, because everybody else is taken. But to the point that you were talking about, like how, you know, sometimes it gets like the condemnation. Sometimes Christians like condemn people. I think I'm just thinking about like one in particular event that I was doing for a women's conference not too long ago. And in one of the skits, I said people get saved and they get spiritual amnesia. And it's like they forget where Jesus brought them from. And kind of like holier than thou. Now, I do believe in living your life to a certain standard. But, you know what I mean? Like, don't forget where God brought you from. Because it's humbling. We all just saved by grace through faith. You know what I mean? So just thanking God for his grace that covered us even when we were in sin. So I definitely agree with that.
So, Rachel, you said, what's something you said you was at a women's conference? So, is that something that you do all the time? Like, go to conferences to, you know, better yourself and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. I love, like you were saying, Sarah Jakes. I listen to, you know what I mean, Feed Your Faith. So, the conference thing is pretty much something that my church does, like, once a year, kind of in the summertime, beginning of the summer, I guess you would say. Mm-hmm. So, that's something that I do every year or whenever it's offered.
Okay. So, Rachel, with your website, what's the name of your website again? I want everybody to hear it.
My website is iamrachelruby.com.
So is this your first launch for your website? Did you just launch this too as well?
I did, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so did you do this all yourself? Did you get help?
I did. I did it myself. I had the help of, you know, people, advice of people, like, how did you walk through it, trying to get wisdom from everybody else? And once I got on there, I think I'm a little bit tech savvy. So just learning stuff, YouTube is your best friend and Google and all that. So, yeah, I did it myself. Try to save a couple coins. You know what I mean?
Trust me. You got to get it how you live. Trust me.
Absolutely.
Trust me.
So, yeah, I did most of it myself.
You can't afford to pay folks for everything.
I ain't on that level yet.
Okay. I'm to the point now where I'm just now at the point where I am going to hire help for stuff. Like, because once you get the going, like, you get to going, you get to start doing different things. Like, you be thinking, like, hell, I'm holding myself back. So let me just go ahead and get some help from somebody. And it's worth it at the end. So, like, what types of things can we find on your website?
Right now, you can find, of course, my book. You can find, you know, I'll be posting more videos of, you know, things that kind of let you inside my brain, my mind, talk about the book a little bit. So you'll be able to find, like, videos, inspiration, you know, a little bit of media, a little bit of books and reviews and stuff like that. So just pretty basic right now.
Yeah, I saw it. Like, it's super nice. Like, it's stupid nice. Like, you did a fantastic job for you to do it by yourself. It's great.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, Rachel, like, I'm proud of you. Like, just seeing, because I've kept up with you, like, just seeing your transition, like, you know, boom, like, you taking that step back. That's how you got to do is just bow. You know what I'm saying? Just, I ain't on her for real. And then bow website, bow book. So, did you tell anybody about your book? Did anybody know?
Real G's move in silence like lasagna. Come on, somebody.
Yeah. So, talk about that. Like, talk about just the importance of not telling people what you got going on. Like, telling people your every move. Like, talk about that for me.
You know what I mean? We live in this new age generation, boy. You show everything. I don't know. I'm not really for that. But people did know. I'm a backtrack. People did know. People that were closest to me. I know one of the first persons I told was, like I said, my mentor, Tanya Smith. And I think I put in the book, like, she believed in this project in seed form. And she was like, yeah, baby, you got it. Like, people need to hear this. And you know what I mean? So she was, like, one of the first persons I told. But really, outside of that, of course, my pastor knew, Pastor Danielle. She actually wrote the foreword. A woman just, like, I really look
awesome.
Up to.
Awesome.
She's a powerful, powerful woman. Integrity and just very anointed. So she knew along the way, you know, so different people knew. But you know, I think it's
you wasn't on Snapchat talking about publishing this book.
Yeah.
Writing the chapter roots.
Yeah. And you know, respect to you if you do that, you know what I mean, out there. But that's just not how I operate. That's not how I move. And you know, I think my thing was like, some people won't really believe until they see. You know what I mean? So, like, if I speak about stuff and you don't, you know, I see it and it's not physically here, but you don't see it, and people can speak contrary to what you know that you're called to do. You know what I mean? And it's one of them things that they'll begin to discourage you for something that you know that you called to do. Not something that you halfway know, but that you 100% with your full heart know. And you'll start to second guess yourself. And you already got yourself, first of all, that you trying to conquer the person inside of you to say, you know what I mean? Like, when you really get to the point of, like, you about to release something. And the Bible talks about this, too, because I was just struggling with this a few weeks ago when I really knew that this was, like, about to be real. Of, like, you know, Jeremiah talks about, like, who am I, Lord? Pretty much, you know, I'm only a child. Like, how can you use me? And Moses is like, I got a stuttering problem. Like, I'm unusable, pretty much. And so you get to the point where you have self-doubt almost. So if you trying to conquer that, I got enough I'm trying to conquer. I ain't trying to conquer, you know what I mean, the opinions of this person, that person, and those persons. So, but I do believe that you do need God. God can tell you things, but as well that people should confirm what God has spoke to you. You know what I mean? So I believe that people are supposed to be covered. So you submit to your coverings. And, you know, so it's not just one thing that you just out here by yourself trying to make your own moves or whatever. But, you know, at the same time, I don't think you're supposed to, like, broadcast every move you make. You feel me? On the sports side, you see people, like, posting workout videos in the summertime and stuff. You feel
and
me?
And then you really don't see the work.
And you don't see the work. And you, like, you posting Oprah 12 for the field. Like, what was you doing in the summertime? You know what I mean?
Okay. And I think a lot of now people do stuff. I feel like people think that the post is the win. You get right. What I'm saying? Like, I posted it, so it's the win. Like, people think I'm doing it. You know what I'm saying? I want people to think, like, why not just, you know, let it manifest and just go? But also, too, like, when you're doing stuff like that and you about to do something big, like, you really got to just let God do his part. You know what I'm saying? Because the between, like, you can rob yourself from your blessings. Why are you doing something? Or you can tell somebody, hey, it's coming out August 15th. And then, you know, it don't come out August 15th. And you got to retell people. Like, it's too much. Save yourself the time. You know what I'm saying? Or sometimes even the embarrassment. Like, it's really big to just let stuff manifest, like, do what you got to do behind the scenes and then boom. But you know what I'm saying? Like, just put it out that way.
Yeah, and that's with everything. Not even just writing a book. I think that's with everything. With anything you working on, like, work in silence. You know what I mean? Like, do your thing. And then when it's ready, it's ready. Like you said, because people will hold you to that, to exactly what you said.
Okay. So, Rachel, do you have, like, as we go to close, do you have, like, any upcoming projects that you got coming up? Well, I know we just talked about not, you know, putting things out, but I'm just saying, like, what's next for you when it comes to just, you know, your business and your speaking and your books? So, what you got next coming up?
Man, I am open to whatever the Lord has for me, praise the Lord. you know, I think there is some things coming up, but I'm going to hold up. I'm going to hold out on that. Whenever it happened, it happened. Like I said, real G's move silence. But I'm actually doing the school thing too. So I'm back in school. So working on that and, you know, working on purpose as well. So yeah, stuff coming out, but you'll see it on social media, on my website, things like that.
Okay, so everybody listen now. We're going to say, Rachel, tell us the book one more time. Tell us where we can find it and go ahead and shout out the name of your website one more time for me.
Yeah, so the book is called Scarred, Healing the Wounds of Life, and you can find it on my website at iamrachelruby.com. That's Rachel, RachelRuby, rachelruby.com.
And also, too, her link will actually be in the bio in the description of this podcast. Rachel, like, so just my time, I usually encourage my guests to at the end. So, Rachel, like, continue doing what you're doing. Like, it's so hard for God to give you a vision, and it's so hard for, you know, you to have purpose on your life, and it's so hard for you to live that purpose out, because it's crazy, because a lot of people think that purpose, you know, is for you, but it's not. Purpose is for everybody else. It has nothing to do with you. So it's so hard for you to live that out. So just shout out to you for just taking that step and just walking into your purpose to help other people, to better other people, writing selfless books to help others, to force others to grow and to challenge other people. Like, I'm proud of you, what you've got going on. Like, you know, I've been knowing you for some years now, like, been following up what you're doing, you know, the sacrifice that you're making to better other people. Like, I'm proud of you and shout out to you that, and keep going. Like, it gets hard sometimes. You get discouraged. Like, you know, you think, are people listening to me? What am I doing's right? You're on the right track. Like, continue to do what you do. Like, I'm going to purchase your book. Everybody else listen to this, go support, like, go read her book. Like, it's going to sound like it's going to have some great gems into it. Sounds like it's going to be really good and purposeful and meaningful. I'm all about stuff like that with substance and reading substance. So make sure you guys go get that. And Rachel, thank you so much for being on here with me today.
No problem. I enjoyed it. And happy early birthday to you.
You already know. But all right, thank you guys for listening to us once again. Go get that book. And shout out to Rachel on her upcoming book release. So thank you guys for listening. It's a Mindset.